Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. We have an official LSU staff. And when you're in the media business, it's always a weird thing because you never really know until pen is to paper if these things are actually going to go through. And Lane Kiffin has built the freaking Avengers. We're going to break it down for you today here on PHL Live. Don't forget, please hit the subscribe button, ring the bell, 5-star reviews on iTunes, Android, and all that good stuff. And a very Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We start off with Joe Houston, the special teams coordinator here for LSU. And it's interesting because last year at LSU, they went with more of an analyst type of approach. This is going to be an interesting transition for LSU because we are losing basically all our key special teamers outside of the deep snapper. You're going to have a new field goal kicker. And one underrated thing about the Brian Kelly era is Ramos was a really good kicker for all four seasons while Brian Kelly was here. And he wasn't really, I believe, that heralded of a kicker. And then, of course, you got to go get a punter to replace Grant Chadwick, who was mostly solid this year for LSU. And then, of course, you got to replace your returners. And, of course, you had really good returners. Aaron Anderson gone. He didn't really return too much, but he was a good returner in the past. Xavion Thomas is also gone. And then, of course, Berrion Brown is gone. It shouldn't be that big of a deal, but for me, and I love seeing all the members in the chat. Look at all these insignias. Look at all these members. Look at this. What's good, Shannon? What's good, Murphy? What's good, everyone? Joe Houston, to me, is going to be big next year for LSU. All right. So now we get to Lou Spanos, assistant defensive line and pass rush specialist here for LSU. Of course, you look at the LSU defensive line over the past couple of seasons, and it indeed was really good. This has not been a position of weakness. It has been a position of strength. But has the LSU defensive line been elite? The answer to that is no. LSU has not been that great on the defensive line, in particular at the defensive tackle position. This has been an issue for a couple of seasons now. And honestly, it's been an issue. We never really had a strong defensive tackle room under Brian Kelly. We've had good DT rooms, but I would never consider it to be great. We can get into the Mason Smith injuries and all of that. But this is where it gets really interesting. As you move along here, Chris Kiffin, of course, we'll get back to that. I want to stick on the defensive line here. You get to me, the most interesting hire of this cycle was the defensive line coach Sterling Lucas. And I say interesting because this was an actual search, if you will, where the other names were guys that were mostly coming over from Ole Miss. So Sterling Lucas, you get into the big debate, should LSU seriously pursue Dylan Stewart? I think they should. You swing for the fences in college football, and there's always a danger in a 9-game SEC schedule, putting so much money into one player, but this is Dylan freaking Stewart. So to me, the big thing for Sterling Lucas, can he develop a consistent defensive line? Well, the LSU defensive line has been consistent. I want to see a dominant defensive line. And the one thing you could say about LSU is they mostly have had good defensive lines. But defensive tackle has been a weakness. And this is a spot where LSU really needs to go out there and get them a dude. And whether or not we want to admit it, we lost out on Dominic Williams a few years ago for Oklahoma. He turned out to be pretty good. Okay, so I think this is where their main focus should be. And then, of course, at defensive end, you're losing basically everyone. Jack Pyburn was fantastic for you. He bought that edge-setting defensive end that you really needed. And then he really had to step up after the Gabriel Relaford injury, as did Jamari Butler, who was also very good for LSU. He really turned it on at the end of the season. And Patrick Payton was fine. But LSU needs to go out there and get someone who's an elite, elite, elite pass rusher. And I think Dylan Stewart is very much worth it. I wish Jack Pyburn had another season. I won't go into the rant about how I think now we need to seriously consider a five-year and five model in college football. We get to Chris Kiffin, and obviously with every big name hire, there's going to be one nepotism hire, okay? But is Chris Kiffin really a nepotism hire? Ole Miss has had good defenses. They have had good linebacker play. This was a difficult room to manage over the past couple of seasons, and Lane Kiffin's staff has done a really good job of that. And obviously, you're always worried about guys that are hired, and obviously Chris Kiffin is a guy that's coached for a good chunk of time, but I wouldn't really be too concerned about that because he is the co-defensive coordinator. Obviously, LSU has a good defensive coordinator in Blake Baker. We then get to Eric Walford, the offensive line coach for the Tigers, and I like him a lot. I think this is a night and day difference from Brad Davis, where Walford has had really good offensive lines at Kentucky and at Alabama. You know, it's interesting. And I don't want to reiterate all of this because a lot of you now are patrons and members, but if you're not a Patreon or a member, you really need to sign up because you get into the data about what I dug up about Eric Walford. Man, long story short, the Kentucky offensive lines for being Kentucky were really good. And that goes all the way back to 2021, where their starting center is now the Saints' starting center. So I like Eric Walford a lot. I'm not just saying that because that's who Lane picked, but this is a guy who has a lot of SEC experience. He also has some NFL experience. He also has some head coaching experience. And while he was a head coach at Youngstown State, he had an overall winning record in his four seasons there. All right. We move along to Dane Stevens, the quarterback's coach. I'll be honest, I've done research on these coaches all day. Don't know a whole lot about Dane, okay? So we'll get back to him at a later date. He will be the quarterback's coach. I want to make sure I didn't skip anyone here. But I honestly just don't know a whole lot about him other than he's coming over from Oxford, all right? We get to Sawyer Jordan, where the LSU slot wide receiver position has been really good. Aaron Anderson has been fantastic. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Even though the overall wide receiver play this last season was very inconsistent. But to get into what Ole Miss has been at the slot wide receiver position, and obviously Sawyer is the position coach here, but overall, this is Lane Kiffin's operation. Goodness gracious, Ole Miss has just gotten so much more out of their wide receiver room than practically anybody in the SEC and maybe all of college football. These wide receivers for Ole Miss are not world beaters. Okay, they just aren't. And we're going to include George McDonald into this. And let me know, type Y for yes, type in for no if you're enjoying this style of content. We're going to get to all of your comments and super chats and all of that here in just a moment. But I want to give you my initial reactions after, you know, looking over the staff. This Ole Miss operation at the wide receiver position has been so ridiculously good. And the thing that was very strange about it is the Ole Miss transfer portal haul at wide receiver was not talked about at all. And all of them, literally all of them, are good. They really did not have a bust of the transfer portal wide receivers that came over. They are so good. And yes, Lane, and we'll get to Charlie Weiss here in just a second. He has a thumbnail image. They deserve a lot of credit for that. They really, really, really do. But at the same time, goodness gracious, the scouting, the evaluation, and then you get into guys that have been in the program for a while. One of my favorite wide receivers in the SEC, and I'm not just saying that because Lane might be watching. I doubt he is Caden Lee. I freaking adore me some Caden Lee. I would love to have Caden Lee on the channel. Number 19, just a scrappy-ass Wes Welker type of slot wide receiver. And that dude just gets after it. And whether it was Jordan Watkins, who I also liked a lot, number 11, who left last year. And then you get into a Louisiana native and Trey Harris. You know, we're a big Trey Harris fan here, fan channel here. Obviously, Trey Harris very close to Malik Nabers, very close to a few other friends of the channel. Trey Harris set the NFL, or I should say,
it's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The college record for a stat called yards per route run, which is very predictive of NFL success. But guess what Trey Harris has done this year in the NFL? Hardly nothing. Now, part of that is because there is a log jam at wide receiver with the Chargers. You got Ladd McConkey, you got QJ, you got Rondé Gadsden. That Keenan Allen guy is going to be getting a gold jacket at some point. So, there's a reason why he's not really had that many opportunities to play. But the point is Trey Harris a better player than Malik Nabers? Probably not. Is he better than Brian Thomas Jr.? Probably not. But his yard per route run numbers destroyed everyone. All right. Normally a yard per route runner that is a yard per route run number that's normally pretty good is in the threes. Normally they're in the twos. Trey Harris had 5 yards per route run at Ole Miss. So we could talk all we want about who's responsible for that, but I'm going to go with whoever Lane Kiffin thinks is responsible for that, and that's part of the brilliance of the staff, all right? And I want to bring this up really quickly. I want to make sure I get this correct here with George McDonald. Yes, so his first year with Ole Miss was Trey Harris's last year where he put up that 5 yard per route run number. Okay. So George McDonald was at Illinois before that and then NC State before that. Very, very, very experienced guy. And still on the younger side, only 49 years of age. We then get to Joe Cox. This is the one guy who, outside of one that we'll talk about in a minute, that a lot of you probably remember as a player. I remember watching Joe Cox when I was younger. I was in high school when he was a quarterback at Georgia. And his career kind of overlapped with that of Matthew Stafford. But, man, number 14 for Georgia, we normally consider that to be Gunnar Stockton. But Joe Cox back in his heyday, wow, good play. All right, he wasn't some elite, elite, elite quarterback, but he's good. He was really, really, really good. So Joe Cox comes over, tight ends coach, go off as a coordinator. This is going to be an interesting rebuild of the LSU tight end room. And I want to go full screen here. And this first time I've gone full screen. If you're new to the channel, this is my face. We had a lively live stream yesterday. We're going to have an even more lively one here tonight. I want to tell you this. The LSU tight end room over the past 5 years, and I think a lot of us want to compare everything to 2019 LSU, which is kind of stupid. But I kind of like to use that as a line of demarcation because it's a decent enough sample. It's after LSU went from the ground and pound era to more of a spread team amongst different coaches and coordinators and all of that. The weakest position on this offense has been tight end. The weakest. I stand by that. We have had one good tight end since 2019. Now, that guy was really good. He was a second-round pick. He was very durable in Mason Taylor. Now, Tre'Davious Green is a better talent than Mason Taylor. He is a better receiver than Mason Taylor. But he is not a tight end. He is a big slot wide receiver who occasionally does some things at tight end. If Joe Cox can get Tre'Davious Green into being a good blocker, he's probably a first-round pick next year. Probably. And that's going to be the big thing. We have got to get better at this position. We just do. And Ole Miss uses their tight ends really well. All right? So the good thing is we're not one of these teams that, I say we, I'm talking about Lane and Ole Miss, they brought in a pretty high-profile tight end that we were after in Luke Haas, the Arkansas tight end. And Luke Harley played this year. And in most offenses, he would have probably played a lot. I'm very interested to see if Luke is interested in making the trip over. And I believe he still has eligibility left. Okay, because he was a true freshman in 2023. I'm very interested in him. Even though that would be kind of a weird jump going from Arkansas, and then he did visit LSU before this past season. I would love him, okay? But he's very unreliable in the injury aspect, but he's barely played. So what does that tell you? Well, their number one tight end, number eight, right, is really good. I think the gap between Stowers, who was the best tight end, won all the big tight end awards, and him wasn't as big as people wanted to put it out, all right? Eight's a good player. He ate us alive. But Ole Miss does run a lot of 11 personnel because they go fast. If you go fast, you don't change out your personnel. You just go, go, go. So this isn't as big of a change as if we were bringing in somebody from Georgia to run our offense, okay, where you need at least three tight ends to do what Georgia does, all right? So it's going to be interesting with Joe Cox. I believe LSU, I say I believe, I know LSU wants to get them a pretty big tight end, okay? Because this is Tre'Davious Green's room. But now you have to envision, where do we want Tre'Davious Green to play? Do we want to make him a big slot, or do we want him to be an every down tight end? So it's going to be interesting. You have some positional ambiguity that you need to sort out there. And I think Joe Cox is going to be able to do that. Okay. And then we get to the biggest hire today. Actually, the biggest would be Kevin Smith, because that was just kind of in the air about the situation with Frank and Kevin and the trade and all of that. From the get-go, I thought Kevin Smith was going to be the guy. Even though there's many that thought Lane Kiffin should have seriously considered keeping Frank Wilson around, I think it's smart to bring in the guy that's been your guy. He's your associate head coach. You trust him, and we'll see what he can do. But the biggest hire is Charlie Weiss Jr. He's a thumbnail image for a reason. All right, let's talk about Charlie. He was already the highest paid offensive coordinator in the SEC, and he's making more money now. And, you know, you're always worried. He comes over, and if we light it up, which we probably will, at least offensively, you do wonder about how long he's going to be in Baton Rouge. But he signed a pretty lucrative, I believe it's a three-year agreement. And I believe Charlie Weiss is a real deal. Part of that is because he's attached to Lane Kiffin. But I am really excited to see what he's going to do. All right. And then we'll do film studies where we'll break down Ole Miss's offense. We've already done some in our preview pieces. I highly recommend you go back and watch our breakdowns, where it does get really technical. We start getting into what Ole Miss calls some of their plays. We talked about Spear, which is my favorite Ole Miss play. I'll link it down below of this video if you want to see it, or you could just DM me and I'll send it to you. All right. So now, this is a big question. Legendary CEO, are these coaches going back to Ole Miss to coach the semifinals? So this was speculated yesterday that the LSU coaches, the new coaches, flew into Baton Rouge. Well, you have to at some point, right? You have to get your houses in order, get your affairs in order, sign your contracts, start getting some things ready. Yeah, you could do all of that by Zoom technically, but Baton Rouge to Oxford, it's not like they were going from California to New York City, if you will. And, you know, take photos, kiss babies, all of that. But they are going to coach with Ole Miss for the rest of the playoff. All right. Now, is that a good thing for LSU? Especially if Ole Miss wins versus Georgia. Well, if Lane were sitting right here, he would tell you, I want Georgia to lose. I want Ole Miss to go as far as they can. And the truth is, you do not want Ole Miss to lose this game versus Georgia, even if you're sick and tired of Georgia's dominance. And it's simple. You want these coaches to get ready for their next thing. It also saves a $250,000 check that LSU is going to have to write Lane Kiffin as a part of the contract for the bonuses that come along with being the coach. Lane Kiffin gets playoff win bonuses. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of ran into some bad luck that Ole Miss, in a rational playoff, should have played a rational team. And they shouldn't have played Tulane. They should have played, it would have been Notre Dame, okay? But, you know, it is what it is at this point, all right? Now, we are going to get a quick break. My dog is going insane because Haley's coming home. Coming up next, what is the one big key for the staff when it comes to the portal? Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Are you a diehard LSU fan and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. So you are correct. Grant Chadwick, I'm mistaken his eligibility a little bit earlier. I confused him with another punter that LSU brought in recently. He is staying. Okay. He has plenty of eligibility left. So sorry for that brain fart. Now, so I appreciate you, LSU Tigers fan. I want to, and look, they might still make a change here. So there you go. I really don't know. Now, this is where it gets interesting as far as the quarterback transfer portal market. Per Sheen and Terry. All right, so Shane and Terry, would know this. He is the one that started Rivals. He was the one that started 247 Sports. Then he started On3, and then he bought Rivals. So basically, this dude owns the recruiting industry. And his reporting, along with Pete Natko's, is that the top of the quarterback market is asking for $4 to $5 million this year, according to Pete Natko's. And Shannon says this group is not worthy of a jump from the $2 to $3 million from last year, but apparently there's a market. Okay? So which of these quarterbacks are actually asking for that? What I will say as far as the overall quarterback portal market, and I'll share with you the players that they have ranked here. It is interesting that Raiola is the, fifth-ranked quarterback here. Sam Led is number one. Swordsby is all the way down here. We already did a DJ Lagway film study. Rocco Beck going into the portal wasn't too big of a shock. You would think he's going to Penn State, obviously. But Aiden Childs, I shared before, I had a dream that Aiden Childs was going to be LSU's quarterback. And I had this dream last year. He would be the one that replaces Garrett Nussmeier. He was the most obvious. He's going to do well enough in the Big Ten to make the jump somewhere else in the portal, quarterback in the history of quarterbacks. A California kid all the way in Michigan. And then the coach gets fired. So very predictable there. Bo Prabula is interesting. All right. I would guess Aaron Filo would follow his OC to Florida. So do any of these names stick out to you? Interesting, they list Juwan Johnson as a quarterback. Colin Hurley's all the way down here. So LSU's going to need to get two quarterbacks in the portal. I don't think there's any disagreement there. So can you spend up, let's just say it is $4 million, to get one quarterback? Is it better to have two quarterbacks at like $2 million? That's what LSU's going to have to figure out. And then you get into, does LSU get the Lane Kiffin LSU brand discount, which they have gotten quite a bit during this portal era where they've not had to spend the absolute highest. And I think that's part of why Lane wanted to make the transition to LSU, because of the brand, because of the recruiting base, because of the Heisman trophies. You think you're going to get a bit of a discount. The problem with, let's just say you, whoever you are watching this right now, you're Sam Levitt or bust. Trinidad doesn't get the waiver. I have heard different things as far as the chances of this waiver being granted for Trinidad, the Ole Miss quarterback. And he would obviously be your first option. You would get him and then get Taven Jackson or someone like that. Pay that kid $500K and whatever. So the problem with putting $4 million into the lap of one QB is that there's just too much to fix on this team. There's way too much to fix. Now, of course, let's just say LSU told Lane Kiffin, we're giving you $30 million, and we're going to give it to you for this roster. Okay? You give the QB $4 million? Well, if it's Chambliss, and you get Chambliss's production next year at LSU, that's worth $4 million. It is. All right? That kind of would align with what the Bengals pay Joe Burrow compared to a cap, right? If you were to pay Chambliss $4 million of the 25 to 30 that you might have, okay? That's about 16%. that's probably worth it. It probably is. Okay. Cranial flatulence. That's funny. But yes, Grant Chadwick is only a year two guy. My apologies. But, you know, for me, I don't know specifically what LSU's quarterback board looks like. I do feel there is interest between Leavitt and LSU. I do. You know, Pete Natkos himself has even reported that Lagway in LSU. And when Natkos reported, I was like, you know what? Let's do a Lagway film.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Study. And I should have mentioned this a little bit earlier. We did premiere a Lagway film study a little bit earlier tonight. We premiered it at 5 p.m. And let me tell you what, already got some good feedback on it. Even though some of you are like, why? Why would LSU even do that? Well, the truth is, DJ Lagway's best football is probably in front of him instead of behind him. And I want to talk a little bit about the Lagway film study because it's interesting. The way I titled the video makes it sound like I wanted DJ Lagway when I'm just asking the question, should DJ Lagway be LSU's QB1 next year? And he was in a bad offensive system where his best receivers were hurt. He was with a head coach who was way over his head, probably should have handed off the play calling duties to somebody else. And he was very hurt. The problem, though, is, number one, Lagway himself, and it's going to be hard for him to do this. He's going to need to humble himself. Now, look, he might already be a humble, good kid. And by all accounts, he actually is that very thing. But the way people talked about him after his freshman season was very irresponsible. With how actual quarterbacks dominate college football, it's clearly been the older quarterbacks. And then the second thing was he wasn't really that great as a true freshman. It was a little overvalued. I think some of that is because of Florida's storied histories with quarterbacks, the five-star rating, the illusion that he is a dual-threat playmaker, which has not been the case in his college film. And we saw the LSU game happen. Now, I'll say this. I don't think anyone thought the LSU game was going to happen. But that is a bottom three quarterback performance versus an LSU team I've ever seen. Literally threw that game away. And it's interesting that he would even play that bad. But, you know, I think you look at him overall, you see the tools. You see what he can do. And he's got a very good arm. He beat us on one leg. Shannon wants to talk about Brennan Sorsby. Let's do it. Okay. Lots of comments in the chat, so we're going to get to as many as we possibly can. All right, so Brennan Sorsby. Cincinnati quarterback. 247 believes he is the best quarterback at the portal. And we know the 247 main transfer portal expert, Cooper. He's been on with us. He likes Sorsby a lot. He's mentioned him plenty of times, and Cooper knows ball. Cooper predicted Lane Kiffin LSU before anyone else. So what makes Brennan Sorsby interesting is he is a true dual threat. He's got some true wheels. Now, How good are his wheels? They're probably somewhat similar to that of Diego Pavia, right? He's a very, very, very good runner. Now, what are the pros and cons of Sorsby? Well, that's a big thing. He gives you something with his legs, all right? The second thing about Sorsby is he is a physical quarterback. He's not afraid to stick his head in there and get the yards that you need to get done. All right. 100 rushes on the season for 580 yards, 9 rushing touchdowns. All right. One of the biggest things of a Lane Kiffin coach team is red zone quarterback running. And I think of the quarterbacks of the upper echelon, he's the best at red zone running. And that's a big thing, you know, Chambliss, obviously. And then, you know, the SEC was just, a lot of it was decided by the quarterbacks that could run in the red zone and the ones that couldn't. Look at the quarterbacks that have won big this year in the SEC. Pavia, elite red zone runner. Gunnar Stockton, one of the best red zone runners I've ever seen. Pavia, same thing. And you look at a guy like Ty Simpson, he's an elite red zone thrower. So Sorsby solves a big problem. He's going to make our red zone efficiency a lot better. Now, something else I like about Sorsby, doesn't throw picks, 27 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. But this is where it gets concerning. Is Sorsby's performance was heavily impacted by who they played. And you look, when he played against Utah, 11 of 33, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, a 24 QBR. That is a disastrous start. His BYU game was really good, though, in a loss. 25 of 38, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 91.7 QBR, 8 carries for 38 yards. Really good game. But this is a main problem with Sorsby, is that there's just not a lot of great competition. I will say, I thought TCU was a little bit better than people gave him credit for. 23 of 33, 282, 3 touchdowns, no picks. The Arizona game was rough. Arizona, if there is a 24-team playoff, or if there is a 16-team playoff, and the top 16 teams got in, no group of five nonsense, which I don't think is nonsense, but whatever. Arizona would have been the first team left out. They were solid this year. He was not good in the Arizona game. So he ended the season with 4 losses. All right. But y'all, Sorsby's good. Brennan Sorsby can play. 6'3", 235, great size. And a lot of what he's good at is like the opposite of what Garrett Nussmeier is good at. Sorsby doesn't turn it over. All right. He's not some elite precision pocket passer, which Garrett in his prime was. Okay. Thank you for the super chat, Jared. First one of the night. Thank you, J-Red. Sorsby's girlfriend just transferred to Texas Tech to play volleyball. Oh, God. All right, so I see that comment quite a bit. But we see a lot of athletes date other athletes or just other people at different schools. It does happen a decent amount. Now, obviously, Sorsby would prefer to be where his girlfriend is. But Brendan Sorsby, if you're watching this, I'll hang out with you. Not romantically. But we'll do whatever you want. Play chess. I don't know. But I like Sorsby a lot. I do. Cosmos. Okay, Carter, what was Chambliss's stats before Lane got him? And he was Division II. You're right. And one thing to include about the Chambliss situation that kind of flew under the radar is that Ferris State just had one of the most dominant Division II national championship runs ever in college football history. They went 16-0. Blew Harding out, the Harding Bisons, the pride of Searcy, Arkansas. They blew them out. So Ferris State did not miss Chambliss. Obviously, Chambliss is a better quarterback than what they have now. But they actually had two quarterbacks that played, and they were they could ball. I'm like, should we go get one of these guys? But no, Trinidad was pretty good. Pretty good. Put up big numbers. Okay. Let's go to Super Leia. Would be wild if Ole Miss wins the Natty. It can happen. I am a walk-ons fan, LSU Monster. I can't believe they're getting, dude, they've gotten so much pub on here. My wife loves walk-ons. I love walk-ons. One of Brandon's friends watches the channel. So, Brandon, let's go. Let's do this. Now, I mean, imagine PHL Live with the walk-ons. It actually is right around, walk-ons, based on where the stadium would be. Wait, is that it right there, actually? No. It would be somewhere, because this would be, let me see if I'm looking at. No, Nicholson would be behind this entrance. So it would actually be not here. It would be like this way, kind of like this. This went bad, but I like walk-ons a lot. Chris Kiffin as a co-defensive coordinator. He's an excellent defensive coach. Be curious what the title addition with Raymond on staff as well. Yeah, I don't know. But C-Ray will be on LSU staff next year. Hey, Carter, does the recruitment of Haven or any commitment of Houston change who you go after? I am in on Peyton Houston. Elijah Haven, though, it was very impressive. Because, one knock you can have on him going into this year was that his high school stats weren't the gaudiest, okay? Now, this is kind of, and this broke during this stream, but this was kind of a thing, all right? Knox Kiffin is going to U-High. Okay. Knox Kiffin is going to U-High. It is official. All right. So University High School is on Baton Rouge's campus. And that is closest proximity you can have a high school to a college campus. They play their games on a field that is right next door to the LSU practice facility, okay? So now, we get into, what did Lane Kiffin tweet today? We do it every live stream. Always checking in on old Lane, and the segment won't stop until Lane Kiffin joins the channel. And even then, it's a fun segment. I spy a certain name tagged, says Caden Yaps. And the certain name, I believe, here is Sterling Lucas. All right, so this would be who Sterling offered today. Anthony Sweeney, a 5-star, 6'4", 230, class of 27 defensive end. There you go. I'm going to give you a follow, Anthony. And I don't like following recruits too much. Good stuff, Caden. The Cathedral of College Football, Scott Ballard. All right, so who is Scott Ballard? He was one of the committee search members to go after Brian Kelly. Go after Lane Kiffin this past year. And Scott is also a big Tulane fan. I've been following him along. I've never talked to Scott. I hope I can. Scott always has a welcome invite to be on PHL as well. Congrats, Scott, on getting the job done to get Lane Kiffin, alongside, of course, the mastermind behind it all, Mr. Virg Osberry. And there we go. We got a few photos here. Scott Ballard. I need to get me an LSU Records sweater. Keep it going. Kermit Davis. I'm trying to remember. Kermit Davis, I think, is a former Ole Miss basketball coach. Happy 38th birthday to Allie. There you go, Allie. Congrats. Happy birthday. Speaking of Allie, y'all know who I'm going to bring up. Allie Broussard. Allie Cat. He actually has a big social media presence now. I'm friends with him on Facebook. He's a beast. The Allie Cat. Another motivational quote from Lane Kiffin. Start of a great week. Day 259. When you observe something for too long, you inevitably discover every microscopic fault line within it. And when you focus for too long on those minor imperfections, you begin to piece together an image of a thing that is... you begin to piece together an image of that thing as being fundamentally flawed. Man, I do this so much with my film studies, man. I will fine-tooth comb that stuff all the time, and I just need to post it. I think we all can relate to that. And of course, Lane Kiffin retweeting the guys coming into the office. Lane retweets an Ole Miss podcast. You only live once, you go for it. The leap of faith is when you step away from what's good in pursuit of what could be extraordinary. There you go. Going to be 78 today in Baton Rouge. Can't wait for my guys to get here in the morning. So this was from yesterday. 4:27. But did y'all notice something in this message right here from Lane Kiffin? Did y'all notice it? P. Mike is bricked up. Okay. You could see Lane is also subtweeting somebody here. Let's see if we can get some music going on here. There you go. You notice Lane Kiffin's gas tank is almost on what? What is Lane Kiffin's gas tank almost on? Someone in the chat, tell me, what is this gas tank almost on? And almost is out there. I mean, he's still got a quarter left on this bad boy. I'm shocked nobody. No, not 1/4. All right, forget it. No. Stop it. This on me, dude. Thank you. McKaylin got it right. Gas tank was almost on E. This is Lane Kiffin signaling to little Boosie. Get your ass to the building. We got some work to do. So Boosie, who's a friend of the channel, get to LSU Ops right now. Huh? 1/4 E. It's not quite almost down to E. But you got the point. I thought the connection would be made a little bit sooner. There's a few other ones you could have done. It could have been, well, it's a fourth quarter. It's time to get to work or whatever. Lane Kiffin also had a few more tweets. And I'll show you this one. Since helmet to player communication, Lane Kiffin, most yards per game in college football, most passing yards per game in college football. Look at that. That's what I like to see. And then Michael Irvin putting belt to ass on Texas A&M's field. Oh, man. Transferred to the boot. That's so good. Man, I am overjoyed that Texas A&M lost. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm overjoyed. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. I don't really care. I feel like staying up all night. One of our vintage Lane Kiffin search streams. I am perfectly fine with doing that. Forget Christmas shopping. Forget everything else. We are cooking. We got ourselves a big-ass channel. You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. If I were actually playing football, what would it take for me to attack a fan? Because I think a lot of you have seen the DK Metcalf thing where Alliance.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Fan said something and they're going back and forth over what the Lions fan said or whatever. What would it take to put you overboard? Okay. And yeah, I think about this a lot because if you're actually playing and you're in the heat of battle, you got adrenaline going, you're not thinking rationally, if you will. It's a wild thing. It is a wild thing. The next thing I want to bring up is I'm so excited for Christmas. It's going to be tough, first Christmas without, you know, and this happens with every family, but there's always that first Christmas without this family member or this friend, or if you're lucky, you didn't have anybody that you lost, but it's always tough, right? But I'm excited about this Christmas. I do think, though, this Christmas kind of snuck up on me. I don't know why. I don't feel as Christmassy as I normally do. I think that's on me, though. That's on me. Another thing is, you know, I try to not get into this today because it just becomes such a big debate. But, you know, I don't mind doing this and having a different opinion than everyone else. I just don't mind doing it. And even if that opinion could inevitably be the detriment of the team that I cover, which is Group of Fives being in the playoff and the 9-game conference schedule. All right. I don't think for me, we tend to realize how good the 9-game conference schedule is going to be for the conference itself. If you make it in the college football playoff with a 9-game conference schedule, are there still going to be some teams that have far easier roads than others? Yeah, of course. Okay. But what I want to do is show you something. And I think this would open your eyes to the 9-game conference schedule. All right. And it's pretty simple. I just simply don't think a school like Texas A&M makes it into the playoff as easily as they did this past year. All right. So look at this. This is the schedule that Texas played last year, or this past season in 2025. And notice they did not play A&M, a single SEC team with the winning record outside of Texas, who they lost to. All right, so theoretically, in a 9-game conference schedule, Texas A&M would have had a 7 other teams that could have played Texas A&M last year. So they would have had a 1-in-7 chance to have that team be Kentucky. So the likelihood of A&M getting Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi, or Georgia is really high in a 9-game conference schedule. And this is my entire point. This perfectly sums up why a 9-game conference schedule makes this league that much better. Because you simply can't do this like A&M did this past year. By the way, Missouri was a good SEC team this year. A&M played Missouri with their backup quarterback. So the schedule is actually worse than what it looks like. And you also factor in, it took a miraculous comeback to beat South Carolina. Arkansas was a team that Texas A&M barely beat. So, same thing with Auburn, so on and so on. Now, they could have gotten Kentucky in that other game. They could have gotten Kentucky in that 9th SEC game. But that's not the point. It's that not only do they have to play an extra SEC team, everybody else does. And it evens out the playing field. It really does. I know a lot of you disagree with that. But let's pull up Alabama's schedule and their 2025 football schedule. All right. Murphy, it's going to be Nick Savage. That's the new strength and conditioning coach. Thanks for the super chat. So you take a look at Alabama's schedule. Texas A&M did not have to play Georgia, who Alabama beat. Texas A&M did not have to play Vanderbilt, who Alabama beat. Texas A&M did not have to play Tennessee, who Alabama beat. Texas A&M did not have to play Oklahoma, who Alabama beat. A 9-gamer is going to smooth this out. Now, there's still going to be a lot of teams you don't play. But just for A&M to have played even a Tennessee team, who very well could have beaten Oklahoma, changes things. That's a good question, Murphy. Let's go to GodSon34US. We like you breaking down the film like a real coach. I appreciate that. Keep doing it. Chaz Morgan, my family is a long line of coaches since 1941 Ponchatoula State Champs, Rhett Morgan, 2031. Well, shoot me an email with this tape. GodSon34US. He'll look like you're a fighter as well. powerhourlsu@gmail.com. I appreciate that. And you know, right, there are some like coaching things that I do in my film studies, but and I take that as a compliment. I'm glad people like the film studies, they like what I say, but like think of the least heralded coach that LSU hired in this last cycle. I don't know who that would be. They know infinitely more about football than I do. All right, so they're actual coaches. I like to think of myself as someone that does know a decent amount about football, and I share it. But, you know, if you were to sit in a film session with like someone like that, I don't think it would be too over your head if you have a decent amount of ball knowledge. Like if you know what outside zone's supposed to look like and all of that, I don't think it would be like that. It would just be very frustrating because it's a lot of fast forward, rewind, fast forward, rewind, fast forward, rewind. And I try not to do that. It drives my viewers insane when I do that. But that's how it has to be done. Because you're breaking down the protection. Then you're breaking down the route concepts. Then you're breaking down whatever, what the defense is doing. The way offensive line coaches watch film, it is every half step that an offensive lineman takes. All right? And the thing is, with Walford, and Blake talked about this. He's a former offensive lineman. He talked about this extensively. You get into the techniques. Do you want to take on a block full man or half a man? All right. And you can look at that from an offensive or defensive standpoint, right, where you're taking a blocker straight head up and you're two-gapping. That's what Siaka Ika did. That's what Tyler Shelvin did. But that's a different scheme from a defensive standpoint. And an offensive line, it's the same thing as well. Do you want to do a full block where you're taking a guy head on? That's somewhat common, yet somewhat rare. Because if you're an outside zone team, you're never really doing that. Okay? Inside zone teams, you do more of that, but you're still zone blocking, right? So technically, if you're zone blocking, you're going to be taking on an angle where if you're blocking like duo, we're trying to get vertical. We're trying to push these biatches back. All right, but I appreciate the compliment. I would like to think of myself as a decent ball knowledge guy, but you know, there's other guys out there that do what I do, and they know no ball. I like to give myself as a ball nerd. Let's go to Kajuni, or iCajun. This 9-game debate is lost because in 2026, if Notre Dame goes 12-0 against their schedule, they're in over a 9-3 or maybe 10-2 SEC team. All right. I am so sick of Notre Dame. They have put me over the edge. And I've gone on this rant before, but I'm going to do it again now. What drives me so insane about these losers, and that's what they are, is that they were correct about Brian Kelly. And we all take L's. And part of it, you know, I talked about some of these shortcomings of Brian Kelly and some of the luck that he had at Notre Dame and so on and so on. And he wasn't the worst coach here, but they were right. They were ultimately right. And you give him credit. But this holier-than-thou mentality is so sickening to me. It drives me insane. Drives me insane that these Notre Dame fans think they're above the Pop-Tart Bowl. All right, they think they're above everything. Win a damn playoff before you start acting like you're hot shit. You're not. You are the luckiest playoff final team ever. There's nobody that comes close to you. Never should a team be able to make a college football playoff when you lose to Northern Illinois. I am so sick of their attitude. So sick of, well, we don't need to be in a conference. We're the Golden Domers. Nuke Rodney, Frank Leahy, we're the legends. We are who we are. All right? But you're not. You're just not. And I'm so sick of it. It drives me up a wall. College football is about wackiness. It's about sickoness. It's about stupidity. It's about the Pop-Tart Bowl. That's what makes college football great. Well, we're opting out of the Pop-Tart Bowl because we got robbed and ESPN was using us for ratings. When there have been plenty of people that have tweeted this out, Notre Dame was not a top 10 rated team in the sport this year. They were all SEC teams and Ohio State. I'm so sick of them. Sick of them. Now, are they a top 10 brand in the sport? Yes. But just because you're a top 10 brand in the sport doesn't mean you don't have to be in a conference. You've got to get your ass in a conference. I mean, this is the only time in sports where there is a team that plays in a league and they're not in a conference. And we talked about European soccer. They don't have conferences, but they're all part of the league. They all follow the same rules as everybody else or the rules set for their conference. Notre Dame has none. None. It drives me sick. It makes me so sick. And I'm so tired of it. Like, I'm so tired of it. Bowing down to the whatever it is. Get in a damn conference. I'll tell you this right now. If you were to go to Kentucky, if you were to go to Arkansas, if you were to go to South Carolina, and you were to look them in the face and say, hey, we want to swap you out for Notre Dame this year. You get to play Notre Dame's schedule. Notre Dame gets your check, but you get to play Notre Dame's schedule next year. All three of those schools are saying yes for this year. All three of them. And pretty much any bottom SEC team that you can think of. Vanderbilt probably says yes to that, and they're not a bottom SEC team anymore. But that's how easy their schedule is, because you're going to make more money winning all those games compared to grinding out in the SEC and getting your ass kicked. So there you go. We'll take a few more here. Oh, you play? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Nobody commented after my Notre Dame rant. I guess I take that as every single one of you agreeing. Crazy. What's the angriest I've ever been on an LSU live stream? Man, there's a few. God, dude, there's a few. I mean, obviously, I would say this past year under Brian Kelly, I was pretty angry during the end of the Orgeron tenure, but it was kind of, you know, once again, I'm not Mr. Insider, but if you do this, you knew some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that was happening at LSU during that time. So it wasn't really a shock per se, but the end of this Brian Kelly tenure and some of the clock management stuff, I would say the Vanderbilt timeout is up there. End of Alabama first half clock management in 2024 is up there. So yeah, there's a few. Let's go to Lawson. Have I heard about how the defensive staff feels about the new staff? I know it's very early, man. I hope they gel. Also, are any of their connections or crossings they may have from past places? Let's look this up. And I didn't look this up specifically, but I will write this down. I'm mostly focused on the offensive staff. And the big one, obviously, would be Chris Kiffin, obviously, was with the last staff, okay? Sterling Lucas is just such an awesome name. That's just such an awesome name. Okay, Lucas was with the Ravens. I knew that. And then before that, he was at North Carolina State. Okay. So he's with the Jaguars, Ravens. Yeah, I would be very shocked if Notre Dame doesn't run the table next year. They don't play Florida State next year. They don't play USC next year. I mean, this is literally one of the easiest schedules I've ever seen Notre Dame play. All right. Now, at BYU is going to be tough. No doubt about it. And SMU is going to have a good team. Miami, that's going to be a rebuild. Pretty big rebuild. But other than that, man, there are three legitimately good teams on the schedule. Three. From last year. Miami, SMU, BYU. Now, I understand things change from year to year. And Navy was obviously decent this year. How about Bobby Petrino going to North Carolina today? But I get this is way weaker than every SEC schedule by a pretty wide margin. All right. Now you do give them credit. There's only two non-P4s on here, but you know. Propaganda 1976, which is more likely next year, Kiffin with the number one offense or Baker with the number one defense? I'm actually glad you brought this up because we get to the poll question. Will LSU have a top three defense or offense next year in 2026? And 82% of you said yes, which is more likely. I would say Kiffin with the number one offense. I would. No name will ever be superior to Barkevious Mingo. I agree with that. DeColdis Crawford would have been up there, though, if he actually went to LSU. Yeah, well, I gotta admit, that's funny. That's funny, man. But Bobby is a changed man. Now, my Arkansas folks tell me it was mostly fine this time around. He did not get along with the defensive staff, though. I'll tell you that. You know what's interesting is that Kirby is one of the few teams that has like most of his team as non-transfers. It's really impressive when most of these playoff teams, Ohio State obviously is not a lot of transfers, but most of these playoff teams are very transfer heavy. No, he's not. He's not done. He'll take a year off and then he'll get a job. He's too good to not get another job. Actually, Penn State should hire him as an offensive coordinator right now. That was a text I just got from Lane Kiffin. Or actually, it's Verge Osbury. He says, "Tell everyone to hire Brian." I'm kidding. To hire Brian Kelly right now. Today I rang the Salvation Army bell. Always volunteer to do that. Always. Always do that. All right, y'all. We will be live again tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central. We'll see you then. Murphy, Jay Addison, thank you guys so much. And we'll talk to you soon. Don't forget, if you want more PHL content, go to the PHL Patreon. Go join our memberships. I want to see at least 5 more members join tomorrow, where you get the Eric Walford bonus film study. If you join the Patreon, you get Discord access. Get to it. It'll change your life. It is. Power Hour. LSU. Boom. Tonight. Actually, hold on. Julia, I agree with you. Tonight, we are doing... Oh, we're getting into a calzone tonight. Chicken Florentine from Tolos. Let's go.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.